This is Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. It's just after midnight in San Francisco's Hayes Valley, and two men are smoking cigarettes outside the gate of an abandoned school. They're waiting for the right moment to break in.
But the main reason we're here tonight is because three people came to the meeting tonight who all were in essentially immediate need of housing, and this was a spot that could conceivably house a lot of people, 20 people comfortably. It has water and electricity, and it's truly abandoned.
When the taxis and pedestrians pass, Matt Crane slips two slender pieces of metal into a padlock and begins to maneuver them. Crane's lookout warns him when people come near. Red light, he says, and the pair light new cigarettes. Finally, the padlock opens. Now Crane can venture onto the school's property. The next step is to see if people can live inside it.
Humans, we're animals, and we're going to do what we need to do to survive. Our survival instinct is powerful. If a human being is cold, they're going to do what they need to do to get warm.
Crane is a member of a group called Homes Not Jails, a 20-year-old collective dedicated to opening squats. It's a loose association of a few dozen activists, anarchists, and otherwise homeless people united behind a cause. 2 to 4 nights a week for the last couple of years, Crane has gone to neighborhoods around San Francisco, locating and opening vacant buildings for squatters to live in, though the abandoned school he's checking out right now won't be one of them. Squatting is a form of trespassing, and the group's activities also involve vandalism, such as picking locks and forcing open doors. These are misdemeanors and potentially felonies, and that's why we're using first names only for most of the people in this upcoming story. They're willing to risk jail to give shelter to people in need. It's illegal. It's a violation of the right to property. But is it wrong? Reporter Charlie Mintz from the Stanford Storytelling Project investigates in this story from our archives.
It's a Tuesday night, and Homes Not Jails member Bruce Allison is leading me down a quiet block in the Mission. He's showing me how to turn a vacant building into a squat.
At the end of Shackwell, this on the Shackwell side right here by Food Co.
Could you say where we're going?
No.
Allison lives in an SRO in the Tenderloin. He spends a lot of time writing for Poor Magazine and getting in the city's hair about tenants' rights and affordable housing issues. He's also pretty good at spotting vacant buildings.
Looks abandoned. Looks like somebody hadn't been in there for a while. The whole thing looks like enough graffiti on it. Hadn't been cleaned. And other signs I'm not going to give away at this time.
There are more official ways of finding vacant buildings. The city keeps track of foreclosed homes, and real estate websites list properties for rent and for sale. The Department of Building Inspection also keeps a list of abandoned properties that's kind of tough to get your hands on, but can be acquired. I've seen it. But the best way is just to be out on the street, noticing. Allison has a simple technique for making sure a property is vacant. He sticks a strip of duct tape across a closed gate or door.
The tape I put on, I can look at it tomorrow. It's this rough corner here. And if the tape is not moved in a week, I know it's vacant.
So what's next?
Then I can find a way to get access in there. Go inside.
How do you think you'll do that?
I can't tell you at this time.
Over time, I learned them. The simplest and least destructive involves just going up through a window. But Homes Not Jails might also pick a lock or pry a door open with a crowbar. Probably the most aggressive technique involves stealing the keys and lock boxes at for sale and for rent homes. They clip off the box with bolt cutters and then smash it open with a sledgehammer. Then they go to a meeting to talk about their progress.
Yeah. Tonight, as I was coming here, I happened to be walking by it, and the tape on the smaller of the two gates was still there intact, but the larger gate around the corner to the main, essentially what looks like the main door, that tape was completely split. It was obvious somebody had breached that door.
Homes Not Jails meetings are hosted at the office of the San Francisco Housing Rights Committee, which is sympathetic but not officially affiliated. Meetings start with a roll call. Tonight's 7 attendees say their name, their housing status, and if they're willing to go on an away team, which is code for late-night squat exploring.
I'm Matt.
Matt Crane.
I'm in need of housing because I only have one squat.
The average squat only lasts about a month, so Homes Not Jails constantly needs to be finding new ones. They're good at it, though. This year alone, Crane estimates they've moved nearly 100 people into about 50 vacant homes. Anyone who shows up at the meeting can be placed in an available squat. Those housed include people forced into homelessness and people who are homeless voluntarily, you might say.
I'm homeless by choice, in a sense. I mean, I'm housed, but I'm housed because I've taken the effort to open up a vacant or abandoned place and use it. I just personally can't support a system that I don't believe in.
Crane stays in an abandoned condo he shares with other squatters. They've been there about 5 months. Cops will respond to any complaint about trespassing, but if the squatters can make a convincing argument they belong there, with mail in their name, say, or permanent-looking furniture, then the landlord has to go to court to get them out. For people like Crane, squatting is a way to resist a system they can't abide. But for landlords and property managers, it's an expensive annoyance.
My name is Robert Link. I am the owner of SNL Realty.
Link, like the other realtors and property managers I spoke with, says vacancies in San Francisco are so low that he doesn't need to deal with squatting too much. But if Crane and his crew staked out his apartment, cut his lockbox to get his keys, and stayed without permission...
First, to file a police report, the first thing I would feel is violated. I would feel that this is first an illegal taking, this is a trespassing. Second call would probably be to my attorney to start that, whatever process it would be to get that, those, you know, get those people out.
Any sympathy?
No, honestly, to be fairly honest, I mean, there may be some sympathy for the fact that there may be people having some hardships in life, but I think that there are alternatives than illegal taking. There are shelters.
Shelters aren't a great option, though. There are only 1,176 shelter beds for 6,455 homeless people, according to the Coalition on Homelessness, a national advocacy organization. But squatting is no cure-all, either. It's hard to do, and even for those who are sympathetic, it's sometimes hard to defend. About a week after the HNJ meeting, I'm with Crane and another member named Gina on an away team. They're going to a neighborhood in the Excelsior to check out some potentially vacant homes. During the drive, Gina confesses that she's not really sure how to justify taking other people's property.
What is there to protect, you know, somebody from walking into my home and saying, well, you have a free dining room, let me live in it?
I that is the most absurd thing I've ever heard in my life.
I'm just saying that I have gotten that.
And I would say whoever makes that argument is... being absolutely absurd and silly.
That is a common concern I've got. But what is it to stop somebody from taking my spare room or squatting in my car or my backyard or my office?
And I would say you're going to stop them. Because what would you do if somebody came in and squatted your dining room?
What would you do if somebody came and squatted your dining room?
I'd say welcome home. But
okay.
Just because Crane lacks a coherent philosophy doesn't mean he's wrong. He knows what he sees. People without homes and homes without people. And for him, that's justification enough to take over empty buildings.
I feel very comfortable admitting that I am not a very good political theorist, and I'm an even worse spokesman for any kind of political theory. And I'm okay with that. I know what feels right for me. And it feels right for me to take a piece of property that's being neglected, that's being underutilized, and turn it into a home.
We've just come inside what was a single-family home, but it's been converted to a duplex. It's a place that we were at last week, and... we're able to come in and secure the front door, replace the lock.
We step onto plush carpet in an unfurnished room. In the kitchen, motion detector lights go on when we pass through. The electricity and water work.
It has hot water as well, so the gas is still on.
Crane guesses it's a stalled renovation keeping this home empty. There are no tools in sight, but the downstairs has a nearly finished linoleum floor. And outside each room, there's a little card with a dollar amount written on it.
As indicating the person's idea of how much rent the unit is worth. It was somebody's concept that this little garage, dank little unit was worth $450 to somebody, and they probably would get $450 for it in the city today.
Crane doesn't like people to profit off housing. With this place, at least, he can do something about it. He deems the building squattable in an emergency, but he'll have to investigate to see if it'll work as more permanent housing. The rest of the houses he's taped up have been breached. The duct tape's broken. So he and Gina decide to check out a new neighborhood.
What are you looking for now as you're kind of going on?
Anything from no curtains and obviously a vacant space, a vacant room. Doors or windows that have been previously broken. Old lockboxes. Lockboxes that have been hanging for a long time that nobody's been by.
I like the way people look for water in the desert, just sort of like intuition.
Yeah, yeah, there's certainly some of that. If it's a quiet night, you might be able to hear a smoke detector that's battery has run down to the point where it's beeping to let you know that it needs to be replaced, so.
It's hard to know just how many squattable places there are in San Francisco. According to the 2010 U.S. Census, there were 31,131 vacant housing units. Most are for rent, or they're vacation homes. But 8,000 are abandoned for other reasons the census doesn't specify. The people with Homes Not Jails say they belong to speculators, who buy homes and keep them off the market until prices go up. Realtors I spoke with disagreed.
Like, I don't know if you heard that, but we actually just heard a smoke detector battery. Beep.
Crane freezes and puts his head up. He waits a half minute or so until he hears the beep again. Somebody needs to replace the smoke detector's battery. The beep could mean no one's around to do it. He and Gina cross the street in the direction of the sound, then they wait again. The beep comes like a tiny heartbeat from inside the house. It's shelter, maybe.
Water in the desert, I don't know. It could just be a mirage, or sometimes, you know. When you're homeless and you're looking for a place, it most certainly can feel like water in a desert. It's exactly what it feels like to want a little bit of security and peace and want to be inside and be able to close a door behind you and know that you're safe and you have a little bit of your own space. I would equate that to the desire to quench your thirst, as natural as drinking water.
Squatting is no solution to homelessness. It's too impractical, too difficult, too temporary. It can also cost property owners aggravation, time, and money. But as long as there are homes without people and people without homes, there will be squatters. Outside a potentially vacant building, I'm Charlie Mintz for Cross Currents.